Let's. Oh. When's it getting up?
What?
When's it getting up?
Thursday morning.
Oh.
Well, something's not right.
Okay. So, some Aruf. We'll talk a little bit about Aruf and a little bit about the beginning of the Parsha. So, there are a couple of Rashis that clue us in to something happening in Aruf that's a little different than we typically assume. One is that when Hashem describes Aruf, he has an interesting phrase. He says, "Ki imin incha mishaleach es ami, hineni mashliach b'cha uva'avadecha uvi'amcha uvi'vatecha." So there's a play on words, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Paro to release the Jews. So if Paro doesn't release the Jews, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will release the animals. But it's an interesting way to describe Hashem dispatching the wild animals. Normally, there's some creation, Vayavchul Adam, Yishritzu Hamayim, Vihaya. Here, why does the Torah insist that Hashem is going to release the animals to overrun the Egyptians? Why that word, Mashliach Becha Uvavadecha Uvavadecha Uvavadecha? No, the second Rashi is, so Rashi says he highlights the fact that Mashliach means to foment or to incite. When you sick a dog on someone, so Hashem was sicking the animals on the Egyptians rather than creating animals like he did with Tzfardea. With Tzfardea was Sharetz Min Hayor. Second interesting Rashi is that when Aruv actually occurs, the Torah writes Tishaches Haaretz, the land will be destroyed. That's a very funny phrase. Anyone know what that phrase sounds like? Tishaches Haaretz? Sounds very Mabu-like, but Tishchas Haaretz with Nei Elokim. So Rashi says, Nishchas Haaretz. That in the case of Aruv, not only were there animals, but the land itself was ruined. The land itself was, we don't know exactly what ruin means, but there's some change to the land itself, not just to the people who had lion's teeth biting through their arms and bear's claws clawing them to death. Tishchas Haaretz, the land was affected. What is happening in Aruv? A third Rashi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces Aruv, he says, Ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. There are three makos in which Hashem adds this suffix. In Dam is Ki ani Hashem, Yadim Mitzrayim Ki ani Hashem. In Barat, Ki ani Hashem betoch, I forget what the language is in Barat. But in Aruv is bekerev haaretz. So what does Rashi say? Ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. Afal pi sheshechin asi b'shamayim, even though I'm in heaven, gezeirasi miskayemes b'sachtonim. My rules still affect and influence the world below. Well, you could say that about every makkah. It's not like in other makkahs, Hashem wasn't in Mitzrayim. Hashem was in Mitzrayim during Dam, and yet His will was fulfilled and expressed on the earth. So what makes Aruv unique? These three Rashis taken together. If you take these three Rashis, number one, Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. Even though I'm in Shemayim, I'm still visible and discernible in the world below. The second part, the land itself was disturbed. The land itself was affected. The third part, Hashem didn't create animals, Hashem sicked animals. Mashliach Becha. The answer is as follows. Aruv was not like Tzfardea. Tzfardea, let's say, being the closest to Aruv, was invasion of animals. Aruv was not where these masses of Tzfardea miraculously came from the Nile in numbers that were obscene and unheard of, and apocalyptic type of events where one large super frog, they hit the super frog and the frog created six other frogs going to the Medrash. These were animals that live naturally, wild animals that live naturally on this earth. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave human beings the ability to tame the jungle, to create civilization and clear boundaries, and where human beings live, animals are afraid, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Cain and Noach, that there'll be an inherent fear that an animal has of a human being, and that there'll be this balance in this world between the jungle, where animals are, and between the human city, where human beings inhabit. And that balance will allow civilization, will allow human beings to live, right? When you have tents in the middle of nowhere, you're exposed to wild animals. But if you build a city, then you can create a fortress, but not just a fortress. If human beings live, animals tend not to live. During COVID, when human beings emptied the streets of major cities, all of a sudden you saw wild animals and wild boars roaming through the city streets. So there's a natural part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world which separates the jungle and human civilization. Hashem said, I'm going to overrun that. I'm not going to create something new. I'm going to overrun that. I'm going to just remove the boundaries. And then the animals that normally live in the jungle are going to overrun you, and the land is going to be destroyed, not because the animals were digging their claws into the land, but this land allocation, there's a difference between the city and the jungle. Now the jungle will replace the city. And the city, effectively, the land that you've lived on, that you've cultivated, that you've built upon, will be the Tishais. That's why the Torah is very descriptive of where the Aruv went. They went, Uba Vodecha, Uve Amcha, uvivotecha es harov umalum batei mitzrayim. As opposed to tzvardeah, where the Torah is telling us that tzvardeah entered their bedrooms and entered their ovens and entered their kitchens, because they were smelly and reptile-like, and you wanted to know what parts of Egypt were affected by the smell and the sound. Here, it's only important to know that they entered homes, because homes are places that animals normally don't enter. We don't care in the homes whether they went to the kitchen, to the bathroom, to the salon. It's not important now. What's important is that normally human beings create a barrier against animal or wild animal, wild beast invasions. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was simply removing those borders, and he was replacing them with another border. This is the first makkah that there's a boundary between Goshen and the other areas. And it's unlike Dever. In Dever, the insularity or the immunity of the Jews is described that the cattle weren't affected. Here, it's Goshen wasn't affected. So Hashem is taking the boundary that normally separates jungle and civilization, removing it, letting the wild animals overrun. There's another phrase that Rashi doesn't comment on. It's a dangling modifier. Umalu botei mitzrayim es harov v'gam ha'adama asher heim oleha. What does that mean? V'gam ha'adama asher heim oleha. So the Medrash says that the wild animals brought their own dirt with them, because bears are more ferocious when they're in their own habitat. So when the bears invaded with some ice, and the polar bears invaded with some icebergs. So that's a Medrash. But what is the literal meaning? It's a dangling modifier. The houses of Egypt will be filled with arov v'gam ha'adama asher heim oleha. What does that mean? It means that the land that the animals are now on, a Shehem Olah, will be part of the Makkah, because this was the land that yesterday you walked upon. So it wasn't just the fear of the Jews that are getting attacked by wild animals, but their world, the Adamar, Shehem Olah, now became inhabited by animals, wild beasts, that normally inhabit the jungle.
Isn't that what the Medrash was saying? That you're comfortable on that land?
The Medrash actually said no, they brought some of their own land with them.
Isn't that just
the same logic. But for the Medrash, it made the lions more ferocious. I'm saying even if it didn't make the lions more ferocious, it was iconic of what was happening in Aruf. Even if the lions were tame, but now the lions were on my land. They were sitting in my makom in the base Medrash, like a movie. And even if the lion was learning Bava Metzia, it still represented an invasion of the jungle and a dissolution of those boundaries that Hashem creates. And that's what made Aruf different. Hashem was demonstrating to them, not just can I sack nature, I can change water to blood, and I can change a minimal amount of frogs or crocodiles to large waves, and I can change earth to Kedem. But I want you to realize that in the day-to-day, what you feel is stable nature, it's still me operating within stable nature. And when I pull away my stabilizing influence, nature's going to be overturned. What allows human beings to create boundaries between civilization and jungle? Me. And day to day, it's me maintaining that, as you read in Baruch Hinashi Es Hashem, where the animals live, where the human beings live, Parakuf Dalet. When I remove that, I don't have to do anything. I'm not creating animals. I'm just simply removing the boundaries, and then the animals will overturn. See, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. Kerev Haaretz means not that I have power and I can affect nature, but I'm also working within nature and within the day to day stability that you need, your basic stability, not to be attacked by wild animals. That's me maintaining a boundary. And when I remove that boundary ever so slightly, or move the boundary somewhere else, not between jungle and between city, but between Goshen and other cities, and the other cities become jungles, so if you read these three Rashis very carefully, remember, Makos are not just punitive. It's not just how much Hashem punishes or breaks the back of the Egyptians. It's also lessons in monotheism. So Hashem is teaching people, Jews, Egyptians, other people who will learn from Egyptians, because Egypt was the cradle of civilization, Hashem is teaching them basics of monotheism. So it's one thing to say there's a strong God in heaven who can ransack nature. It's another thing to say Hashem operates within nature. And the way that Hashem demonstrated for the first time was Arov. Arov was the first time it was demonstrated. Everything else was a plague. Arov was slightly adjusting the calibration, slightly moving out the boundary between the last tree in the forest and the first house in the city. And all of a sudden the animals overrun. Yes, Adama, Shema, Labati, Shechei, Saaretz. And Hashem says, and Hashem be careful. Okay, a little bit about Aruf. Good morning.